This is the Friday, October 2nd, 2015 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Here now to lend us his insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Mark Gold. Mark, welcome back.
Nice to be back, Mike.
Well, and we are glad to have you. It was an eventful week all
Certainly
the way
was.
Around. I want to start off with this wheat market. We're back up above $5. We put a nickel on this week. Are the lows in?
Yeah, I believe they are. I'm a little bit friendly on all the grains in here. Maybe not quite yet on corn and beans, but the wheat market's had a nice little bounce. We've got a few weather issues around the world. We've got a few planting issues around. So do I want to be bearish at $5 wheat heading into planting? No, I don't. I think if guys have sold wheat, they should be buying back some calls in here, keep the upside open. But long term, I'm friendly to the wheat, looking for some kind of a bounce in here. We still have big world carryouts. There's no question about it. We're 126 million metric tons. But the market already knows that. We've gone through the harvest. We made some lows. We bounced here. And the funds have been short the wheat, long the corn. Over the last week or so, we've seen them come out of a lot of those positions. And I'd like to see the funds get long some wheat here, push us maybe back to 560, 580.
Okay, so still some legs under.
I believe it can over the next several months, yeah.
Okay, so you're talking into the first quarter of 2016.
Yeah, beginning of next year. Somewhere in there, we should see a nice rally. I'm hoping for it anyway.
All right. Well, let's jump down into the corn market. We've got harvest going on. You talk to a lot of farmers. What have you been hearing yield-wise?
You know, it's the same situation we've been faced with all year. Where it's good, it's really good. And where it's bad, it's really bad. Now, are we going to meet the government expectations out here? Informa came out today on Friday and said that we're still looking at a big corn crop. And I believe that on whole, there's a fairly decent sized crop out there. It's hard to believe. In all the areas I've traveled around the country, I haven't seen corn that would say it's as good as the USDA is telling us and Informa is telling us. But these are the numbers that we have. And like I said, where it's good, it's really good. And even in some of the states where we thought we had some problems, in Illinois, in Indiana, there's certainly some very poor counties in those states. But there's also some pretty darn good yields out there. But one of the pluses is we're getting through this harvest very quickly. I can't remember harvest weather this good for as long as we've had it in the last two or three weeks.
We are getting it done, and that raises questions as guys are filling up the combine, they're filling up the trucks. Do you sell and look to re-own with an option? Do you put in storage? What's your strategy with corn here at harvest?
Well, it's pretty much the same on corn and beans. Right now, there's very little carry in the corn market. There's just about enough to pay your storage costs. So if you're going to put the corn in the bin, which a lot of guys are, and try to get some basis appreciation after the harvest, what I want farmers to do is look at doing a hedge-to-arrive contract out in July, capture that carry that's in the market. It's about 21 cents. Capture that carry. But now you've got the corn sold. You've got the basis hopefully going to come back sometime between now and July. But in the meantime, I would be re-owning it because you've got it sold. I'd re-own it with a call option. I don't want to be bearish down here at 360, 370, 380 corn. The harvest is going at a pretty good clip, particularly once we get past the 50% mark on the weekly numbers on harvest. I think that's the time to look to really buy some call options in here and try to keep some upside. And you can go out all the way to next September, a year from now, on a corn call spread and get a dollar of upside for about 23 cents. I think that's really good value.
All right. Now, we had the USDA quarterly stocks report out on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Any surprises in there for the corn market?
Not so much for the corn market, no. It was pretty much as expected. Again, it wasn't friendly enough, and that's what we saw the funds starting to liquidate some of those positions, selling the corn and buying the wheat.
Okay.
So there was nothing particularly friendly out there in the corn market.
Okay. Next, I want to talk about soybeans, and I want to start. This was an interesting week. We saw beans make a run at $9 both on Wednesday and on Thursday, and that leads us right into our first question here from one of our Twitter followers. This is Brian in Colorado. He's curious. It seems as though buying momentum is coming back into the beans compared to prior weeks. Should we expect this to continue?
Well, the last 2 weeks, the function of the bean market has been as much about the bean oil market as anything else. It's taken a leadership role, which generally isn't a good sign for long-term strength in the grains. It may be a little bit different this year. We've had some dryness in India. The monsoons have been a fraction of what they normally are going to get. Strong demand for veg oils out of India and Malaysia. So that sector of the market looks okay. The problem is we've got the bean meal. The funds are still long a little bit of meal. We've got to get them out of that first, in my opinion. and we still have the harvest ahead of us. So is this the day and the time I want to be buying calls back? Not quite today, but literally Monday or a week from Monday, start looking at buying some. Maybe again on November 1st, buy some more. But long term, I have no interest in being short down here at these levels. So again, I believe, you know, I hear a lot of doom and gloom about American agriculture out here. And maybe I'm the only one, but I think 2016 can be a good year for American farmers out here. We've had 13, 14, and 15 have been tough years, downward prices, puts have paid off very well over those time. But now, do I want to be bearish at 360, 370 corn and 850 beans? No, thank you. I'll let somebody else be bearish down there. But as far as storing the beans, I wouldn't be storing any beans.
Okay.
There's no carry. There's 8 cents from November to November. It's 8 cents. From November to July, it's 15 cents. There's no reason to store these beans. Sell them. If you're looking for basis appreciation, then capture whatever carry is there. Do the hedge to arrive contract. But the fact of the matter is, whatever you're going to sell off the combine, in my opinion, you've got to buy call options to keep the upside open.
Okay. Do you buy calls at your cash sale price, or do you look a little out of the money?
You got to come out of the money.
Okay.
And I would do a call spread to cheapen it up a little bit. Do not be selling calls down here to pay for puts. To me, it would be a poor decision to make.
Yeah, no sense in being twice bearish.
No, absolutely not.
Well, now, you talked a little bit about the doom and gloom in American agriculture.
Yeah.
Next, I want to move to this cattle complex, where there is a feeling of doom and gloom as these prices continue to tumble down another $5 in the live cattle market this week. Mark, are we getting close to a bottom?
Maybe a temporary bottom.
Okay.
We generally make our lows the first Monday of the month. Monday will be the first Monday of this month. So it wouldn't surprise me if Monday, and the market didn't act bad. We had a nice little bounce on Friday. We've broken this market awful hard. We've had one $10 rally basically in the feeder cattle market, had about a $6, $7 rally in the fat cattle market. Then we made new lows again. Can we get a bounce in here? I believe we can, but we still have the whole cycle having shifted out here. And there's still an incredible amount of risk, in my opinion. So on any rallies, if you haven't done so already, I mean, our guys have been taking money out of these put options. You know, months ago, we suggested buying a 225 put for $5 a hundred. And, oh, I don't want to spend $5 for that. Well, we've been taking money out of these puts all the way down, and now we still have the puts on. But if you haven't done anything to this point, use some kind of rally. Hopefully we can get that in the next couple of weeks for whatever reason, and look at buying some puts because there's still a tremendous amount of risk on the table.
Now, as you're looking at buying puts, at trying to find some way to hedge your costs in here, it, on the live cattle side in particular, nearly everybody is below break even all the way out there. Yeah. What's the best way for a producer to handle? It's tough for guys to justify hedging below break even.
That's why a put option is such a good vehicle, because you're not locking in that low price. You're protecting it. If the upside comes, you've got that upside open to you. If you go hedge futures here, you're going to be locking it in under that cost of production. If you get a rally, you got to pay the margin calls. If something really good happens to this cattle market, you're going to get scared out of those hedges, take the loss. The market's probably going to break after that. Don't get involved with that. Just spend. I know how hard it is to spend money on these puts. But when they pay off as frequently as they do over the course of time, this isn't you buy a put and hope it's right tomorrow. This is over 10 years. If you can follow a risk management plan consistently, you can be very effective with these options, both the puts and the calls.
Okay. Now let's move into the feeder cattle market. We're looking at a different set of scenarios there. We are looking at herd expansion. Do you think we're approaching the bottom as well in the feeder cattle market?
Well, again, I think we can see a bounce in here.
Okay.
Hopefully Monday, whatever low we made today, it'll hold and we can see another rally in here. The volatility in these markets is extreme. It's 3 and 4 cent ranges almost every day out here.
Two limit moves this week, correct?
Yes. And we saw a limit up, we saw a limit down.
Yeah.
So, you know, it tells you, and generally markets will get more volatile on the lows. So we've had a lot of volatility here. Maybe this is a temporary low. But when I look at the long-term frame of the next year, 18 months, I still believe there's a lot of risk in this cattle market.
So now that is my next question. We saw a lot of high-dollar cows, bred heifers bought in this last year.
Yeah.
For those producers, put options still your best way looking out that 18 months to 17 or 16?
Well, I think you can come in shorter on the time frame to protect the price because we'll break fastest up front than we will in the back. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to go out to, you know, the late spring time frame on feeder cattle and fat cattle, that gets you through the next 6 months. And if we're going to go through more pain in this market, it's going to come, in my opinion, in the next 6 months. So you don't have to go out and pay the time value on an option for a year or a year and a half out. We try to match the options at top third to when we think we can get the most bang for our buck, and we think it's more in the next 6 months.
Okay.
It'll happen in that time frame.
Okay. Now, one of the factors in the livestock market, particularly the beef market, with this very strong dollar, it's been very easy and affordable to export beef from other countries. Where do you see the dollar staying here in the next 6 months?
There have been a lot of bulls in the dollar, and, you know, certainly when we were down at 80, 82 cents, I thought we had some good upside potential in the market, and we got that. Now we're at a level that we've seen the dollar backing off a little bit from these highs. We saw the unemployment number, the dollar had a pretty significant break, came back a little bit. I'm not that bullish on the dollar, and that's one of the things that makes me a little bit friendlier to the grain market, is if we can do something contrarian out here and see the dollar break, then maybe we can see a little bit more grain export business, which would certainly be helpful.
You bet. Now, hog market, Mark, before we let you go, are we getting a little toppy in here, down this week after several up weeks? Where do you think we're headed next week?
You know, we've been saying as the cattle were going to come down, the hogs were going to rally with it. If we get the rally in the cattle, then we'll see the hogs set back a little bit. If the cattle continue to break, I think they're going to buy something against it. And I guess it'll be the hogs, if anything. So it just, we have to keep a close eye on that cattle market. That'll be the real direction finder for the hog market.
Okay. And looking at that upside on a bounce, all going to be relative to the cattle market?
I believe so, unless there's some new scare out there or something that really spooks the market.
Yeah. Okay. Avian influenza might be
a
black swan to sneak up
on
us this fall. Hopefully not.
Yeah, let's hope not.
Those bird producers. Well, Mark, it was a pleasure to have you here. 10
nice
seconds.
To be here.
Crude oil, up or down?
Long-term higher. Maybe a break in the meantime, but long-term higher.
All right. Well, with that, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Joining us this week. That wraps up this edition of Market to Market. But Mark and I will continue our discussion and answer some of your questions in the Market Plus segment available on our website. That's also the place where you'll find audio podcasts and streaming video of the program. Now, once you land on our homepage, look for information on the Market to Market Classroom. That's our exclusive service connecting teachers and students to our stories about the science, technology, and business of agriculture. Click on the link and take a look. And join us again next time when we'll look at the long-term forecast for the rural economy. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.